You're listening to Over the Line on Galway Bay FM, the sporting sound of Galway.
And you're very welcome back to part two of Over the Line. Myself, George McDonough, and John Mulligan. And we're delighted to be joined in studio by Caitlin Hayes, who made her debut on Galway Bay FM yesterday, covering the Galway versus Kerry defeat. We hope this is not going to be an omen, Caitlin, as Galway went down to Kerry in the ladies' Lille National Football League. And we're also joined by Mr. Niall Canavan, Doyen of all sports these days. And Caitlin, first of all, you're very welcome. And your views on the weekend sport in general, it was pretty dismal for around here because Connacht got beaten, Galway went down, I thought badly to Kerry in that senior game. You were there. Lots of other things that happened, unfortunately, the weekend. We see Roscommon relegated. I don't think, lads and ladies, that was unexpected in a way. But you were there for the game yesterday, Caitlin. I personally, watching the game on TV, from an early stage, thought that Galway were never going to win it.
Yeah, I don't think they ever looked like they were going to pull on. And I think with Kerry, you always know they've just that confidence that they can kind of push ahead all the time. You know, like, I know even with Tomo coming on at the end, he kind of got that goal, but it was just too little too late, really, you know. As you said, Kerry always just looked that bit more dangerous and you always kind of felt they were going to come through with it. Now, you know, probably both teams, you know, there is that talk about with the league, you know, do any team want to be there? Kerry, you know, probably didn't have a whole pie to pay for, but like they knew they didn't really want to be in the league final, but they still wanted to get that win. You know, Jack O'Connor is always going to be that competitive person. I heard Eamon Fitzmaurice say if it's a game of cards he's playing, he's going to want to get that win. But no, never kind of felt like being there that Galway were going to push on and win.
Niall, your thoughts? I don't know.
Well, I thought Galway started very well. There was 3 points up, 5 points to two, and all of a sudden they were 8-6 down at half time. But in the context of what everyone is saying in both the football and hurling leagues, do teams want to win it? Well, from what I've seen, Dublin want to win the league. They've been brilliant. I can't see anybody stopping them this year the way they're going at the moment. But from a Galway perspective, we've been missing so many players. Damien Comer hasn't played in the league. Shane Walsh has played one game. Killian McDade obviously hasn't played. Sean Kelly has been in and out through injury. Matthew Tierney has been injured. There's so many of them that have been injured. And if you take frontline players out of any team, they're going to suffer. Took the two Cliffords, obviously, that came on yesterday, and Sean O'Shea and these guys out of the Kerry team, they wouldn't win too many matches, realistically.
Correct.
You can't really judge Galway until these players are back. Now, whether they'll be back for the championship or not, I don't know. We're going to London in 2 weeks' time, obviously. Galway are going to be in the Connacht final unless something major happens. With London and the winners of Leitrim or Sligo. So you're looking at 5 or 6 weeks down the line that you will probably need the top players back. And even looking at players over the last couple of weeks, you need a couple of games to bed yourself into inter-county action. You know, you don't just walk out onto the field and start playing. You need a while to get to bed yourself in. And those games could be ideal if those guys are back for those games. But we need them all on the field. And any team without your frontline players is going to suffer.
It's now really legendary, lads and ladies, at this stage. There's the photograph that appeared in the newspaper a number of weeks ago with the line of players in Pearse Stadium who were injured. And it was frightening because we were looking at 6-7 frontline players who were out injured. Now, I think there was two ways we could look at Pádraig Joyce's interview after the game yesterday. Number one, was he saying that he did not know when they were back and when exactly he would have some of these players back? Or is he, as you make the point very well, Niall, that we play London, who we should beat, we then play the winners of Leitrim and Sligo, who we should beat. Does Pádraig Joyce see this as an angle? Look, unlike other years, we can try and peak for a Connacht final. We could get game time into these and we've one shot at a Connacht final, and this could actually be a blessing in disguise, what's going to happen.
Possibly, but the way the new system has gone, like, Galway are guaranteed essentially to be in the round robin, the last 16, which is out a good few weeks from now. So you garner your thoughts to those games realistically. If you win a Connacht title, it's 3 in a row, which from a Pádraig Joyce's perspective, he would like that on his CV, no doubt. But we need to get these guys back in the field. Now, I think he probably knows when they're coming back, but obviously hasn't hasn't told anyone as of yet.
I have one question. We're talking about the injured players and the amount of injured players that Galway has. How come we have all these players who are getting injured, other counties who would have not as many? We seem to be just, the one word that struck me over the last couple of days has been unlucky. We seem to have this long line of players who seem to be all picking up injuries. But, I mean, the Cliffords played, I don't know how many games they played last year. They're both still available for selection. They were on the bench for Kerry yesterday. They're fine. So how come we're getting all these lads injured and other counties aren't? And Dublin nearly had a full lineup, championship lineup yesterday against Tyrone and made bits out of them. And we have to ask that question. You know, is it because there are too many games? Is it because of conditions? Is it, what is it that's causing our lads to get injured, but in other counties it's not the case?
Well, I do think there are too many games now. I don't know how I got a lot of the Galway guys injured. Obviously, Killian McDade, we know, got injured on club duty, a serious injury, missed the county intermediate final. Sean Kelly was injured last year, probably played too many games last year. He played for Mike Cullen, then came back and played the FPD, then played the Fitzgibbon or the Sigerson, then came in and played the league in the championship and got injured. Didn't play for Mike Cullen in the championship, which was significant. And Damien Comer has picked up, obviously, an injury last year as well, came back, obviously played with Andy Down in the championship. Picked up another injury this year, but it's for the championship. You need the players on the field, and there's no point risking, in my opinion anyway, risking players in league games if there's the chance that they're going to pick up an injury. Now, there are too many games, and there's the season is too close. Say, for example, Leitrim are in a Division 4 final next week, but they're out playing Sligo the following week. You could go from the high of winning to losing and be in series the following week.
Are we finding out now that this whole new split season, whatever you want to call it, is actually being of, shall we say, a lack of benefit to Galway, and that we're the ones that are suffering as a result of it? That's the win back to the
other
way.
I don't think, Caitlin, it's all about Galway in the sense of this split season, the way it's working. You see the statement from Andy Moran in an interview after the Leitrim game yesterday. They had the misfortune or ignominy of losing to New York last year. It was a low. And he says they can take away the finals of Division 1 and Division 2 of the league, but they won't. And I think he's actually right. Because if you want to keep everybody happy in the game, Roy, this is probably the one piece of chance of silverware that Leitrim have, is in this league final.
Absolutely. And, like, obviously, you know, the eyes are always on Division 1, Division 2, the big games. But you do need to keep in the smaller counties and the, for want of a better word, weaker counties. Like, as you say, it's their one chance of silverware. And if that's taken away, you know, you do want to go out competitive matches, and, you know, there's talk of taking away the finals and play it straight league, but you do, if unless you're going out in a day and that you want to win where it's winner takes all, you know, when it's just point based, you want to get those competitive games and those big days out for those counties in Division 3 and Division 4. It's really important.
I will ask the three of you here now, do you actually think that the hierarchy might somehow, I won't say reconsider, but might take a detailed look, do you think, after this season, maybe there's tweaks that can be made to this split season, and that they may actually listen to the most important people in all of this, the players?
I think they could. I think the league finals should be played, and I think maybe there could be a 3-week break into the championship to give every team a chance. You have a situation where Clare and Tipperary are Clare and Kilkenny in the hurling league. Obviously, Clare, if they win that, they're playing 2 weeks' time against Limerick after that. You had last year's league final where Mayo beat Galway. The following week, they were playing Roscommon. You have the situation this year, say if Galway and Mayo got to the final, Galway would have been flying out to London 3 or 4 days later. Mayo were flying out to New York 3 or 4 days later. And you cannot sustain the amount of games, and particularly with the likes of travel. So you have to, I think there have to be at least 3 weeks between the league and championship if the GAA authorities are serious about the league and promoting it and getting the best out of it.
Caitlin, I will ask you, and you were in Killarney yesterday, like Kerry are jetting out to Portugal, and even if things went their way yesterday and they got to a league final, they were still going to go to Portugal for the warm. So that tells me they weren't really worried what happens in the league.
That's it. It's just, it's not serious. It's not taken. It's all eyes are on, you know, championship. In fairness, this is like it's like the warm up, and it's kind of just, is it ridiculing the league? You know, there's no esteem with it, which, you know, if that's the way the teams are viewing it, especially in that Division 1 and Division 2, you know, what's there a point in it being there if that's the way it's being viewed by them teams?
I think so, but I do think that the powers that be within the GAA have to think of sponsors as well, because we're living in an era where it's not that easy to get sponsors. Like, we look at other sports and they're running around looking for a sponsor. We see how long it took the Irish football team to finally get a name on the jerseys, and I'd say the particular television broadcasting company that got that honour got it at a good price. That's just a personal feeling, but you have to think of that as well. And I mean, Allianz have been associated with national leagues for as long as I can remember now.
Yeah, they've been over 30 years. I think they had an ad last year, it was 30 years sponsoring the Allianz leagues. And even if you look at all sports, if you look at Connacht heading to Benetton next week without two of their top players, if you're sponsoring the team, you want your top players on the field in most games, and you want to get value for your book, as they say, if you're a sponsor. And you mentioned, I think, the Galway hurlers were gone to Portugal today. The Limerick hurlers are going Wednesday, I think. So there's a lot of counties, you know, that the league is, I won't say it's in the way, but getting to the final would be an inconvenience. Survival is the most important thing. And essentially, Galway, the two wins over Tyrone and Monaghan, and the draw then against Roscommon, obviously, was a huge point in the end, because it secured their status in Division 1. And realistically, Galway are well above, you know, a lot of the teams in Division 1 if we have everybody out in the field. But if you're looking at the league and the importance of it, I don't know, I think are too many teams taking that important. But then you go to the final next weekend. Derry got a paste in from Dublin a few weeks ago. If they get another one, what does that do to them going into the Ulster Championship? And then if you look at Dublin, everybody's saying they've been exceptional, and they have been exceptional, and they're playing a brand of football that's fantastic to watch, maybe in comparison to other counties. But from our perspective in Galway, you can't really judge this Galway team until you have everybody in the field. Whether that'll happen or not remains to be seen.
But the backdrop is, and I think you're in agreement here, that the pathway to a Connacht final could actually be a blessing in disguise for getting guys in, because if he can get 30 minutes into a couple of players in 35 minutes into a couple of players in London, and 35 minutes into different players coming back against the winners Sligo and Leitrim, we might just come to the Connacht final where we'd have a fair chance of putting our best team on the field.
That's it, absolutely. It's getting those game times in games that may not be as competitive as they'd hopefully maybe expect later on in the year if they are to keep going. And it is, it's getting those people back and getting even like the likes of the young people that are out in front. You know, they need the likes of the Damien Comers and the Shane Walters to bring them on in the confidence in the forward line to get those time into the legs. But yeah, coming back from injury, those games will be really important for the lads if they do get back in the Connacht Championship.
The ladies game in Killarney, Caitlin, Galway beaten 2-11 to 12 points.
Yeah, I suppose it was Kerry just could see it in them. They kind of decided to turn on. Galway obviously had a good start in that, but Kerry had the good start in the first third, and then Galway had a great middle third of the game. They finished really strong in the first half. Of course, they lost by a point then in the end, but it was when Hannah O'Donoghue came on for Kerry. She scored 1-2. Sorry, that was the Camogie score I read out there by accident. It was 2-11 to 12 points, Kerry won. Hannah O'Donoghue came on for Kerry and got 1-2, and it was those 5 points that were between the teams in the end. And I think Kerry being able to just switch on that, like in fairness to the Galway backs, I thought they did so well on Louise Muir. Her thing, she's obviously, her name kind of precedes her and you always see her stand out, but the full back line did so well. I thought Nicola Ward and Kate Geraghty for the Galway half back line were really good in attack, and they were really supporting of each other. But look, it all comes down to, as we know, to the last final meeting with Waterford for Galway, and whenever that will be.
And that's the question, when is it going to be? We were talking today in the office, and you know, there's all kinds of speculation. There was half talk of it being next weekend. There's half talk of it being 2 or 3 weeks down the line and being the middle of the week in a neutral venue. We just don't know. And that's not fair on the players from either Galway or Waterford, because they now know how crucial this game is regarding survival in Division 1. And they can't organise anything. They can't, you know, if someone has holidays planned or something like that, they're having to do it now and kind of at their own risk in so many ways, because the Ladies Gaelic could say, okay, fixtures now, this particular date, this particular venue, this particular time, and everything that they might have planned is kind of out the window, which is, I think, insulting to
be honest. Is this coming into the open debate as well? And we've discussed this in the past in the studio as well. We're talking about the inclusion of ladies football and camogie within the broader GAA family that everybody's coming together. and we'll all be on an even keel. Like, equality is one thing, but somebody telling you that equality might take 10 years, I think is absolutely farcical. And again, we're back to the old chestnut of pitch availability. And it is very, very hard. And I don't think it's fair on any organisation, but especially the ladies' football that, and Camogie, that we have counties, and not just Galway, looking for pitches. I just think it is really, really, I think it's poor PR.
Yeah, if you look at, I suppose the Galway-Waterford game was called off because of the weather.
Yeah.
And that game was to be in Ballinasloe. Was it Galway or Pier Stadium?
It was meant to be Pier Stadium. And then was moved to the Dome in Beacon.
Dome, Beacon, yeah.
And then there was talk that Waterford weren't going to travel, yeah, which is the reason why the game was called off.
Well, there was moving back the game an hour to allow them, obviously, and rightly so, because of the extra travel time. And then, but the sad thing about it is, it was still the morning of the game.
Yeah.
When nobody knew. If the press didn't know, and the organisers, think of the 40 players, the 45 players that were involved between both squads.
If you look at some other things, I know the two games were yesterday. The ladies' football was after the Gaelic football.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A couple of weeks ago, Mayo went down to Kerry in the Football League, and their ladies' footballers played Kerry the same day in a totally different venue a couple hours beforehand. Mm-hmm. Why weren't the two of them on together? Do you know?
How many people, Caitlin, you were there for both games? How many stayed for the ladies' game?
Like, in fairness, for the first half, there might have been a third that were there. But if there were 100 there for the second half, you know, it really... And, there was yellow weather warnings in Killarney, so maybe that was on people's mind. But it was perfectly dry for the whole entire issue. So it wasn't as if the weather... You know, it was people left of their own accord. And, like, you know, it was a good competitive match. It wasn't as if there was one side running away or if it was, you know, a poor match. It was a good match to be at. But it's just, is it like a lack of respect for the women's team? It's frustrating.
It certainly is. I just think it is. And I think I'd agree with the points that we need to get these games on beforehand. What we need to do now is take a commercial break and come back and we'll talk about the Camogie situation for Galway the weekend.
Over the Line, in association with Supermax, where the best post-match analysis takes place. Download our new app today. You're listening to Over the Line on Galway Bay FM, the sporting sound of Galway.
And you're very welcome back to the second part in our panel discussion. We're Over the Line, myself, George McDonough, John Mulligan, Caitlin Hayes and Niall Canavan. And Camogie, Galway got over the line against Waterford on Saturday. A point victory, but look, the history will always tell you it doesn't matter whether it's 1 point or 10 points. Is it a positive that Conal Murray is telling us we've a few players back as well? Niamh Kilkenny's this world and more. They're needed back, but is that a boost? Obviously, it is a boost, but again, we're going through league action and he obviously has his eyes on Championship.
Yeah, I think, well, everybody has their eyes on the Championship, but from a Camogie perspective, it hasn't done Galway any harm to win the league. Mm-hmm. The last few years, like, oh, we've won a couple of All-Irelands, we obviously won a couple of leagues as well. I think the win the last day, they were 10 points to 4 up at half-time, and Waterford came back into it and led going into additional time, and Galway got 2 late points, Ailish O'Reilly getting the winner. I think that's no harm to lay down a marker as well, that we went out and won that match. We're in a good position now in the league, obviously, at the moment. Just interesting to see what happens over the next couple of weeks. But you want to be getting your players on the field again. I know there's a couple of girls back, obviously. Niamh Kahinney is back, but it brings serious experience to it. Niamh Hanafy was abroad, and she's back now as well. And there's another Niamh Mallon.
Mm.
Interesting. She's from County Down. For Down, yeah. I believe she's going to play for Sarsfields this year as well, which would be a huge, huge thing for them.
She's a brilliant
because
player.
She's a serious player to add to their squad.
She was one of those players that people talked about, you know, if you wanted any other player to join your team, her name was at the top of most lists. It shows how highly respected she is. So that she's playing for Sarsfields and playing for Galway, I think is fantastic news.
And we even saw last year Cork won the All-Ireland and they had the Down player playing for them as well. Corner forward, and she made a huge difference to the team. And any person you bring in is going to be huge. This girl that's coming in has serious inter-county experience, and is a good player, and will be a serious addition to Sarsfields. And they'll have another Niamh back as well next year. Niamh McGrath is all Niamhs, from a Sarsfields perspective, and they'll make a bold bid to win the All-Ireland again. But from a Galway perspective, very good to beat Waterford, particularly to get those two late points after being well up. I know there's probably a big wind in Loughrea.
Yeah.
But they, to finish strongly and to get the 2 points in additional time, I think it's another statement and it's important.
Yeah, sometimes that will work to your advantage. Yes, you went out of the game, but the fact that you showed the bottle to come back and win certainly is a plus. Unfortunately, the minor team went down to Cork and went pretty well beat to the end.
Yeah, they were, but... I mean, Stephen Glennon was very disappointed when he was talking to Darren after the game yesterday. Mm-hmm. But they still have two games to go. And, you know, if they get one win from those two games, they're in the All-Ireland semi-final. There's four teams that are going into those semis. Mm-hmm. And they're playing Antrim away from home. Again, they should win comfortably. They're playing Kilkenny as well. So, they all wouldn't be lost in that front.
No, but again, they got a bounce back.
Yeah. I feel they will. You know, from the games that they've played this year already, you know, you've seen moments of absolute brilliance from the team. And I think they just need to keep that consistent now throughout the whole hour instead of just 15-minute bursts here and there. And you will see this team. Because, like I said, they've got two games left and are expected to beat Antrim. And if they do that, then they're in an All-Ireland semi-final and then all bets are off after that.
Speaking of All-Ireland semi-finals, we can move to league semi-finals. And Thomas Hayes, here comes the question for you. How are the people of Limerick feeling after being beaten by Kilkenny? Yes, but I suppose... Again, it'll probably be a warning to his squad, but John Kiely was adamant by stating that this is not good enough.
Yeah, I think one of the words that he used was embarrassed after that game, mm-hmm. saying that it's, you know, one of the worst games that he's in his 8-year tenure so far. So, look, I don't think the people of Limerick are necessarily worried.
No.
And again, you know, like... Maybe they have a chance now for a little mini pre-season before heading back into the Munster Championship, I think is kind of the way some people are looking at it. They won't be happy with yesterday's performance. I know, like, I wasn't there. I was listening to it in the car and, you know, you heard that perfect start, the Dermot Burns point, the Aaron Gillan goal, and you're kind of thinking, geez, we're on to a good one now here. You know, it's always nice to, be nice to get a win over the Cats, like, of course. And then it just all kind of started to fall apart. You know, that Limerick support play wasn't there. You know, you had Keane Lynch running into cul-de-sacs, which led to TJ Reid goals and all that. So, you know, I think... It shocked Limerick supporters and, you know, like people all over the country maybe, but...
I would love to have a camera here.
Yeah.
On my left-hand side. And the smirk on Mr. Canavan's face as a man who's been experienced in watching Galway teams fall to Limerick over the last number of years and other teams. Last year, Niall, it was a game of poker going into the last game in the Munster Championship. Results in other games could have knocked Limerick out as well. Did John Kiely take that on board, do you think?
Oh yeah, well, when you were saying there was a smirk on my face, it was kind of when Caitlin was saying, I know he came out and said he was embarrassed. I don't think he was embarrassed by the defeat at all. I think he was quite content maybe coming off the pitch, in one sense, in the sense that, you know, a lot of them top players haven't played a whole lot of games this year, like Declan Hannan and Sean Finner coming back from injuries. They got another more game time into them. Keane Lynch was taken off, Garrett Hegarty was taken off, Aaron Gillan was taken off, Dan Morrissey hasn't played a whole lot of games this year. Peter Casey got sent off, of course. Now he's going to be out, I think, for the first round of the Leinster or the Munster Championship. Seamus Flanagan came on as a sub, so they're building a team, but did they really want to play either Clare or Tipperary in a league final? If they got to the league final, they'd be playing Clare twice in 3 weeks. So I don't know, were they that bothered? But what I will say is that if you're Kilkenny, irrespective of what Kilkenny team is out in the field, it could be the best Kilkenny team ever or the worst Kilkenny team ever, but they will always give 110% for that jersey, and irrespective of who they're playing. And we saw it again the last day. You know, it's a mindset in Kilkenny.
And you were saying, I'm getting the feeling for what you were saying there, Niles, and I go back to when a Galway team drew with Carlo a couple of years ago, and it cost us in the long run. Kilkenny don't care who they're playing. They'll put them to the sword.
Yeah, they have always done that. And I think it's, if you ever look at Kilkenny, they're the team you need to look at in the sense that I know Limerick have come and won the last four out of their five out of the last six, but irrespective of any Kilkenny team that goes out, they will give it 110%.
They're carried out on
the field. Carried out, and that's exactly it, irrespective. And even the last day, they got off to a bad start. 1-2 to no score down. came back. Owen Cody got a great goal. TJ got a serious goal as well. Like, he's 36 years of age, nails every single free. If he was playing for Tipperary yesterday, like, he'd have ended up at 15 or 16 points probably. But you're going back to Limerick, like, they've been on the road a long time. I know they're pretty young, a lot of them, but they've been playing since 2018, and they've been playing until the final stages, essentially. Since then, they've won five All-Irelands. But they'll be looking at, it's what they're looking at, it's the five in a row this year. Immortality, essentially, to win that five in a row. They got a wake up. They won the league last year. They went hell-bent and won the league last year, and nearly got caught in Munster as a result of that. They got beaten by Clare.
Yeah.
And I think if Cork had scored another point, they wouldn't have got to the Munster final.
That's how tight.
Which
it
meant
was.
That they would have possibly have still qualified, but they would have gone down a different route entirely. They wouldn't have got to the Munster final. They'd gone into the playoffs, which they haven't done before, which was a different thing entirely than having the 4 weeks break. I think Kylie will be happy that they're out of the league, but maybe not in the way that they went out of it, I would think. But I think I'm looking at the examiner here. It says a Limerick wake up call or a bear poked. I think it's both, particularly maybe the second one there, the bear poked and ready to go for the championship.
The bear poked, Caitlin, is how the examiner put it and how Niall Canavan puts it. I tend to row in with them, but I do take Niall's point that in essence the Kilkenny attitude is what you're saying is the barometer really of how we look to the
Well Limerick's attitude. Limerick's attitude has been superb as well.
Yes, but then,
okay, both, but I'm just saying it from a Kilkenny perspective, they'll be delighted to win the league, in the league final. They'll be wanting to win it because they'll have Antrim in 2 weeks after that before they come to Pier Stadium to play Galway. So in essence, realistically, I know Antrim have strengthened their team. The Dunlay lads have come back, Elliot the goalkeeper's back, Keelan Malloy is back. They'll be a stronger team in the championship, but you couldn't see them getting anywhere near Kilkenny.
Which brings us back to last year's Leinster final. Kilkenny needed a goal, and does that not rubber stamp your point?
Mm.
They needed a goal, and they found a way of getting it.
They found a way of getting it, and they generally do. And even, I know they lost the All-Ireland final, but they were 5 points up 5 or 6 minutes into the second half when Paddy Deegan got the goal that burst the net. And they had put themselves in a position. I know Limerick took over and were brilliant after that, but they went into that final firmly believing they were going to win, which is the Kilkenny mentality every day they go out, and they're going to be serious. Obviously Clare and Tip was yesterday. Tipperary had awful wides, but Clare are by far the better team. Clare have a serious outfit. They get Shane O'Donnell back, Tony Kelly back, and these guys, Ryan Taylor, they'll be there thereabouts.
There's the general thought process by some, Caitlin, that Clare are possibly the biggest danger to Limerick. Now, there was a point made on TV last night that throughout their history, Clare do not have a hell of a lot of national silverware. I think it's the many three All-Irelands and I think four National Leagues maybe.
Mm. Mm.
But are they realistically, do the people in Limerick feel that Clare actually could be their biggest threat to the strive for five?
Yeah, see, like, I think a Limerick and Clare meeting is always one, you're never sure heading into it, you know, you're so, you know, like, it is that local rivalry comes with it as well as the Limerick one. And like, as you say, like, David Fitzgerald is probably the best hurler in the country at the moment. Like, he's playing brilliant stuff. And, you know, with the likes of Tony Kelly and Shane O'Donnell still to come back into those panels, Limerick won't ever be quaking in their boots at anyone. They'll still back themselves, I think, you know, going forward in the year. But I would agree that Clare probably are the number two.
And from a Clare perspective as well, and if you look at it, they're in the league final. Win or lose that, they play Limerick 2 weeks' time after that. If they lost to Limerick, they have to travel to Cork the following week to essentially stay in the championship. Like, it's that quick, the turnaround between games. And like, the Bear Pit is that Munster championship. Obviously, I know Limerick have won the last five, but to be in the top three is going to be extremely difficult for all those teams.
Can I bring back to you, to your point, that what you said earlier about Galway, can how we can approach the Connacht Football Championship, something similar to how we approach the Leinster Hurling Championship in a way, but the lopsided nature of the championship, really, because virtually any one of five counties can win. Now, I know Waterford aren't going well, but on the given day, there is a possibility that Cork, Tipperary, Kilkenny, or Clare, Limerick, can beat each other. in, we've seen it in the championship. It is just so competitive. Mm-hmm. And as you said, Clare could be gone after two games. We don't know.
And they could have 4 points on the board after two games could. Just as easily. But yes, it's just the bear pit that is that end of Munster. You mentioned Leinster, obviously, Galway start against Carlow in 3 weeks' time, and no doubt they'll be doing a good bank of work in Portugal. I'm sure they won't be sunning themselves or anything like that for the 4 or 5 days they're out there.
I reckon there'll be some hoolie with all the teams that are out there.
There's a good time out there, yeah. They could play the championship out there the way things are going. But like, Galway have Carlow in the first round, and Kilkenny come to town then. And you have Kilkenny and Wexford within 6 days of one another. Mm. That could tell a lot, you know, depending on the Kilkenny result. You have to go down to Wexford the following week.
Following Saturday.
The following Saturday, yeah. 6 day turnaround, which isn't ideal. For two very competitive games in that sense, like in two serious games.
Is this the Leinster Council hierarchy getting something over the door on Galway, no?
I don't know.
Or is it an open draw? That's what I'd like to know.
I don't know, but it's been kind of much this. It has been kind of that way for the last number of years. That the Dublin game has been the last game for so many years. Like, you know, whether it's in Parnell Park or Croke Park or Pure Stadium this year, you know. So I don't know how they do the draw, but it's just interesting that Galway play Wexford in minor the same weekend as they play them in the senior, and they play them in minor. They play Kilkenny the same weekend as well, and those games won't be together.
This is more,
which is disappointing.
Like,
your
view on this, we spoke about the ladies not playing together. This is there something, Niall, that tells me that you cannot play the minor now with the senior because of their age?
Well, they're saying that, but then
I think
if you went to last year's
look what the day it had.
If you last year, the minors got to the All Ireland final, and the under 20 final was with it, and there was over 30,000. In Thurles, because Offaly were there. Offaly brought an unbelievable crowd, right. As did Clare, as did Cork. We probably didn't bring as many, but the crowd that was there for the start of that minor final was the equivalent of 20,000 to 25,000. So surely, you know, there should be a bit of big give and take. And what a day to be for the young lads, in fairness. Yeah.
On the Sunday, on that Sunday in Pearse Stadium, Galway and Kilkenny at minor level, at, we'll just say 1 o'clock.
Yeah, that won't be happening, obviously, because we have no home games in the minor or the under 20 championship, so it would be beautiful, but it won't be happening.
But why not? Like, you know, this is the argument all the time.
It'll probably end up that the minors will be on the Saturday and the seniors will be on the Sunday, and the same thing will probably be happening against the Wexford game.
What I'd be afraid of, and you know, you're thinking of it not just from a supporter's point of view but scheduling as well, that you could have a crossover of games, say the minors starting at 1, the hurlers at 2, that kind of thing. But would they go and they wouldn't go and stoop that low?
No, they won't be on the same day.
They won't.
No. Leinster Council will try to maximise profit, as they are entitled to, in the sense that they won't have the two games on at the same day. But it's just a pity that from all those minor teams that it's been taken out. I understand what they're trying to say, that they're taking pressure off the players. But when it came down to it last year for the All Ireland final at a minor level, the under 20 final was on the same day in Thurles. It was a sellout essentially, and the crowd that was there was huge at the start of that minor final because. Obviously, the under 20 final with it. And, you know, it'll be great to see if it won't happen. But we have plenty of hurling and plenty of football in both ladies and men's to look forward to over the next few weeks.
We certainly have. I won't put pressure on you, Caitlin, but as a Limerick native, do you believe that you can do the five in a row?
Absolutely. That's the Limerick attitude. Of course we do. No, I genuinely, it's hard.
Is the feeling in Limerick is 100%. What I'd like to know.
Yeah.
Their utmost faith in John Kiely that he'll get them to peak on the right day.
Absolutely. I think, you know, and obviously this the last few years, but we're in the winning mentality. And I know obviously yesterday didn't show that, but I do genuinely think that Limerick aren't going anywhere. They're here for the five.
That's one of the best. It's one of the best atmospheres. Actually, is Limerick Clare in the championship? It was there last year. It was just absolutely blinding. So,
I get the impression, Niall Kenevan, that you think. I always remember Sean Walsh many years ago, referring to the drive for five with Kilkenny, and it didn't happen. I have a sneaking feeling, looking at your facial expression, that you believe they'll be turned over.
I don't know if you go back to Kilkenny. They went into the final against Tip without Henry Shefflin, without John Tennyson. Both of them, I think, played with cruciate ligament injuries.
Shefflin
went after 10 or 15 minutes, and there was total hype about it. There was 10,000 people watching them training. There was different times, obviously.
Yes.
And they were playing their nearest rivals, Tipperary, and there was a lot of hype about that. and it may have got to the players, and Tip came out and beat them on the day. Obviously, Larry Corbett got the three goals. I think Limerick is slightly different. I know they're not doing any media interviews. The players won't be talking until after they hope will be the All-Ireland final.
Is that a bit silly?
Daft.
It is. I think. Really. I think. GAA players. I think we do ourselves a serious disservice from a PR perspective. If you look at the soccer, if you look at Connacht rugby, the sound bites that come out every single day, and you have players speaking to the media. You look at the Irish rugby team; the players speak to the media every single day. Like, there's a serious PR thing in the GAA, and there's a serious fear factor. Like, do you know that you'll let something out? But sure, everybody knows everybody's team, and everybody knows who's going to essentially be playing for Limerick and Galway and Kilkenny and Tip and all these teams.
It wouldn't kill them to do a quick a media piece like Connacht do. You know, like one press conference, one player, one coach.
I agree. Speaking of Connacht, we'll have to dissect their defeat after this ad break.
Over the Line, in association with Supermax and the Plaza Group. Proudly fueling GAA supporters at the Galway Plaza, the N17 Plaza Tuam, Loughrea Service Station and the Kinnegad Plaza. The Plaza Group, the perfect pit stop on your journey. You're listening to Over the Line on Galway Bay FM, the sporting sound of Galway.
And you're very welcome back to part three of Over the Line's panel with myself, George McDonough, John Mulligan, Caitlin Hayes and Niall Canavan. And we go back to Saturday night in the sports ground and Connacht. Oh my God. Absolutely, full of what Mac Hansen says afterwards. He pulled no punches.
Gobsmacked.
In his role as pundit on TV for the game, but this was a very, very poor outing.
It was just disappointing. I said in the intro earlier on about, you know, did we give them too much respect or did we maybe even underestimate them? Quite possibly. This was a Lions team that had come into it, never won in Ireland, I believe. You know, were very poor. Now, they were only 4 points behind Connacht actually going into the game, so maybe we should have seen those warning signs there. But they did exactly what they had to do, but some of the tries were unforgivable. I mean, missed tackles, rugby 101, stuff that you teach children in minis, and how to tackle and how to be in position, and they were just out of it. And it was just, P. Wilkins said in the press conference today, it was frustrating. That's an understatement.
I actually think Wilkins is under pressure.
I wouldn't think so. No, I wouldn't think so just yet. Now, get another couple of results like that, and maybe it's possible. But one thing, and I'm wearing the green jersey here when I say that one thing Connacht have done in the past and done very well is bounce back from disappointments like that. But what they need to do is they need to be more consistent.
But this, it's all right saying consistency. But these disappointments are regular.
Yeah, it's been a funny season. It always is with Connacht. It's funny, like you can have two or three great results and then you go flat for a few weeks and come again. We don't have the resources, let's be fair, that the other clubs have. But what the last day was disappointing watching it on the TV, like when they had the guy sent off, and what a terrible tackle that was.
Oh, dreadful.
It was 7-7. And with 14 men, the Lions scored 31 points to our 7 for the remainder of the game. And full value for it. And could have scored more in the sense that they were totally dominant. Now, maybe Connacht were shell shocked, but it was disappointing. There's a big game coming up against Benetton at the weekend now. Obviously, they're the top Italian team. They'll probably have their internationals back.
They will.
If they do, we won't have ours, which I think, I know it's what's happening with regard to the
return to play protocols.
Like, you need Bundiaki, you need Finlay Beelam. These guys, obviously, Mac Hansen is injured. They would bring serious leadership qualities to the team. But that said, they won't be there. So it's a chance for other guys to step up. But the performance will have to be far superior than what it was last weekend. And it was tough for the Connacht supporters. And it was the first time I watched a match where a lot of the support was gone well before the end of the game as well, which, in fairness, generally doesn't happen.
No,
And it happened the last day, I think, because obviously people were so disappointed with the performance.
And I'm looking, and this is George driving his old chestnut again, I suppose. This blasted artificial pitch, his easy playing it for opposition.
But it's the same for everyone, though.
John, you cannot turn the screw in a scrum. I watched yesterday, which we'll come to again in a few moments, the Junior Cup final. There was a couple of occasions when Connemara got a squeeze on. There was certainly a few occasions when Dunmore got a squeeze on when Connemara were down to 7. and you cannot scrummage on this pitch. You cannot use your superiority in a scrum set piece on these type of pitches.
True. No, you cannot. But
and they're also the converse, I'm just thinking, is true with when you're down to 14 men. It's not, I know people say it's the hits and all this and it, but it's not as stamina sapping as a pitch where there might be a few puddles of gutter and muck and real proper rugby ground. And I just think we've seen it with the French coming here earlier in the season. We thought this was a second string French time. They arrived, they were able to throw the ball around. We seen it at the end of the Leinster game, what cost us. The ball stayed alive, it stays alive a lot longer. And I just thought the way that the Lions played that recycling game they had, it was much suited to this type of surface, like their own place.
They're their homework done, there's no doubt about it. I mean, they're on tour here, they've got a couple of games up here before they go home, but the point was made before the game that this was one that they were going to target and they would see Connacht as the particular target.
But they've never won a game
outside. I know.
They've won match ever outside their own country.
And their record is pretty blooming poor, even this year. But, you know, every team is going to have one particular game where it all works for them. And last Saturday was it.
But that's an excuse that's been thrown up, and you've thrown up that a fair few times.
Yep.
It cannot be true all the time, John. But these... they haven't won member of the South African Springbok squad. Like, they're the poor relation of what's coming from down there, Les.
Oh, the lowest rank of all them. There's no doubt about it. Which makes the defeat last Saturday even worse to stomach, to be honest. But Niall made a very good point, and I watched it myself again today. And to see the Clan Terrace emptying in the last 10 minutes, and I mean, literally, you can see it actually emptying, is disappointing. It's rotten to see. But then fans themselves and the reaction on social media on Saturday night, I wouldn't want to repeat what some of the people actually said, because I wouldn't have a job tomorrow. It was pretty nasty.
I watched the game and I thought it was very, very poor, and I actually watched the second half of the game with a man I had played against in my youth, which senior to me, and we were talking about the game. I mean, I had a good respect for Pat Considine, and we spoke and we were just flabbergasted with the basic errors that were being made on the field of play.
Did you, on a slightly half positive note, you might disagree with me, but what Pete Wilkins said today in the press conference is the first time I've actually heard a Connacht coach, and I'm going back a long time to Pat Lamb and before, where a coach was visibly frustrated, and it showed with Pete Wilkins today. I would love to have been there in the review of Flying the Wall to hear what actually happened. But I have a feeling a lot of strong words were said, and I hope that it's the kick up the behind that they need ahead of two huge games to come. One against Benetton, and then that last 16 game against Pau.
The last 16 game I think is significant here. It's the one against Benetton that's going to tell us an awful lot. Mm. Well done to Connemara yesterday, won the Junior Cup again. Those of us old enough can remember how long it took them to win the first one. But a superb performance, and how wonderful it was to see a tight head prop kick a conversion into the wind in the second half of a cup final was absolutely, it's magic.
Six times they're champions now. Hard to believe it's only six.
How long it took them to win the first one?
From 75 to whenever. It was a great performance. Look, Connemara had the experience, they had the guile, they had the players, they had Dean Staunton, who got a yellow card, and even then Dunmore couldn't capitalise.
Which again, I'm going back to the pitch. It suits a team, and you can get around it. I just think that surface.
Well, can I throw this one at you? If it wasn't for the surface, you wouldn't have had the Playton Cup Finals yesterday, the way the conditions were. I don't think those two games would have gone ahead.
I'm not disagreeing with that.
Look, it is what it is. The pitch is a 4G artificial surface. Tuam, Barry Ryan made a great point in his interview afterwards, because the question was put to him about the surface actually, and he said it's actually not that daunting. Ballina has an artificial surface, Craig's has an artificial surface, so the lads are used to it. And Tuam did exactly what they had to do and win the plate. And fair play, and delighted for Barry. I know Barry, know him a long time. He's been coach of Tuam for 7 years. Yesterday was his last game in charge. And we wish him well, though I hear he's not actually leaving rugby, that he's just going to another club, which I can't confirm, so I'm not going to say who. but it'll be interesting to see whoever he takes over, because it'll be a great benefit to them.
Yeah, I know Barry myself, and well done to him, well done to Connemara, well done to Dunmore for getting to the final. It was a huge day for them, 50 years. You know, they've made great strides, and let's hope it continues, because the game of rugby union needs good club teams at the present moment, and they need teams, because the grassroots is the most important part, because that's where the players come from at the end of the day. Not all, especially the west of Ireland, it's not all through the school system, it's through the clubs. Quickly to basketball and Mary, done what they had to do.
Exactly, and a cracking match. Put up 104 points. What was fascinating about Saturday night was the spread of scorers. It wasn't just two players. Sean Briggs and Tom Childs got 50 points between them for Sligo, and there were five players, for Mary, who scored 10 points or more, which is a fantastic return. And it now means a repeat of the cup final of last year when they meet Aina. We believe it's, I'm hearing, not confirmed, that it's back in Calasanchis next Saturday night. That's a tin can of a venue. It is tiny. It's very tight. We were so close to the line on Saturday evening that we could have smelt the sweat off the players. We were that close to it. And it was absolute bedlam, mayhem, fantastic atmosphere. It's going to be some semi-final next Saturday, if it goes ahead on Saturday.
Well, we keep in tune to Galway Bay FM, and you'll find all about that. We look to soccer, guys, and this week there was no Premier League soccer. It returns next week. We'll see what's happening towards the culmination of the season. Certain clubs will have a lot of bearing on what happens at the top. It looks a three-cornered fight. I have a sneaky feeling that Arsenal might just get over the line somehow, and that's for a later in the season. But the Republic of Ireland, after many years looking for a sponsor for the shirt, last week got one, and we're months looking for a manager. We've heard of all sorts of people's name. The conclusion of the Lee Carsley debate, people said that John O'Shea was only in there because Carsley would finish up with the English under-21s at the end of this Euros. He came out and categorically said he did speak to them, he had no interest. John O'Shea, how was his audition? It was a boring game. It was a poor game.
Yeah, and like, you'd be hoping, you know, when you heard Lukaku wasn't travelling, De Bruyne wasn't travelling, you kind of felt, you know, a bit of hope, like you had gone up against this Belgium side. And, you know, the big thing that stands out is the Evan Ferguson penalty. You know, it was gifted a soft penalty, but it didn't take the chances, I guess.
Yeah. No, and again, he's experienced a dip in form, Evan Ferguson. You'd be thinking, I heard one guy that I was speaking to today who was at the game, he says, oh, if Adam Eda was starting, he'd have taken the penalty. Look, that's nice to say that, but Ferguson, that would, you'd be hoping it doesn't have an effect on him for the remainder of the season, because he's had a tough time at Brighton this year. I know injuries and all that, but they haven't been going too well.
Yeah, he hasn't scored since November.
Yeah.
In any game. It's just unfortunate, but the role he plays with the Republic of Ireland is generally that lone striker role, which is, it's tough going on any player, and particularly when you're playing one of the top teams in the world, in Belgium. I know they were missing, as Caitlin says, Lukaku and De Bruyne. And now, they still brought on Meunier and they brought on Doku and these lads, you know, as well. They were trying to win the game, but I know their own manager said it was an awful boring game, and it was a hard watch now, in fairness. Thankfully, we didn't lose the game, but we hadn't a whole lot of chances. I know Ogbeni should have squared a ball to Coleman for a tap in the first couple of minutes. Didn't happen. Playing Switzerland tomorrow night, probably be much more of the same. Little qualm I have is the fact that I looked online for tickets to see the game. You had to buy the double package, which, I know from the FAI's point of view, that's their prerogative, obviously, but I don't think it's fair, particularly in a lot of fans that might want to go to one of the games.
I was speaking to a guy who I work with during the day, and his dad and himself were going to the match, and they were bringing his nephew, which would be grandson, obviously. First game, the young lad, I think, is 6 or 7 years of age. Wonderful day out for them. But again, they had to buy tickets to cover, but they're not going, obviously, to the Switzerland game. I've seen this for many years in the IRFU, where if you want to go to see the Springboks, you have to go to see Canada as well.
Yeah, and what is it, €70 for the two of them or something like that?
Yeah.
And like, it's not right, it's not fair on the sport. If they want to get people to get behind the team, it's not a great incentive.
I think myself, and I've seen Galway United do this to great effect. I know we're looking at a different scale, but the FAI have missed a trick here. It's Easter holidays. The kids are off school. Why not target the underage clubs? Only give them tickets if they're willing to bring 35 kids.
Mm-hmm.
Then each club can hire a bus, bring 35 kids, 10 adults to supervise them. There's your bus filled. Somehow subsidise the bus. I just think it would have been a huge marketing tool for the FAI to do that.
Yeah, I wouldn't even... You're talking about subsidising the bus. I'd just give the 35 tickets and 25 for the young lads and 10 for the adults or whatever, and you would fill the bus because the young lads would go off with their free tickets or whatever. But I think they're putting undue pressure on people to go to two games in Dublin. You could be going from any part of the country for 7:45 starts or 8 o'clock starts. You had 5 o'clock the last day, obviously, but Saturday. You wouldn't be home till maybe 11 or 12, depending. You're back up again. You're going Tuesday afternoon. You might have to take a day off work and bring the kids, which obviously not if you're a teacher. But, you know, people, it was very unfair. Like, I probably would have gone to one of them myself if the chance was, obviously, there was the two-game package, and I said, Jesus, no way am I going to the two of them.
Question, Caitlin. Do you think John O'Shea might have promoted himself to favourite for this job, or is it a case of they have to give it to somebody? They probably could give it to John O'Shea.
Yeah, I think, you know, since the beginning it's been quite clear that he was interim, but is he standing up now and kind of saying, I'm here to stay? But I suppose we'll see. You know, like, getting a draw against Belgium, you know, is a good enough result, you know, one that we would have taken, I suppose, if we were told it at the beginning of the match. So is he standing up now? I suppose tomorrow night will tell a lot as to how his standings are as a manager going forward.
Well, tomorrow night we'll tell a lot what the clock is telling me, that our time is running out with us. To John Mulligan, to Caitlin Hayes, to Niall Kahneman, thank you very much for joining us this evening. And thanks to Dermot O'Connor on sound. We'll talk to you again this night week when it's Galway and Bowes live from
Over the Park. Line, in association with Supermax, celebrating 3 decades of passion, dedication and unforgettable moments on and off the field. Supermax, proud sponsors of Galway GAA for over 30 years.